Well, good morning, all. Would you turn with me in your copy of the Scriptures to Romans 15 once again as we continue our study in Paul's letter to the church at Rome? Romans 15. Our text for today is verses 5 through 7. We are in a series and a portion of a study of the Roman letter, chapter 12, verse 1 through 15, 13. It's called Portraits of Newness, Life on Purpose. And in the first seven verses of Romans chapter 15, we have the Christian one another's to forbear, to build up, and then today to walk with. Romans chapter 15. I want to read now the first seven verses of Romans 15, and then I will ask the Lord to help us understand His Word as we dedicate this time to Him this morning. So in honor of the Lord and His Word, I ask that you would stand with me, please, as we read the first seven verses, and then we acknowledge God and seek His help to help us this morning. Romans 15, we then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of hope and the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Father, it is our high privilege to fellowship with each other as we commune with you. We come as your church, the called out ones. We come, Father, because you are the point and our focus is upon you this morning and what you have to teach us as you have revealed yourself to us through your word. We recognize it this morning, Father, as the inspired word of the living God, the infinite sovereign creator who has made himself known to us. And we acknowledge this morning, Father, that your revelation to us is not just for our information, but it is for our transformation. And so, Lord, we ask that as you open our hearts and our minds this morning, that you would do a work in us, mold us more and more into the image of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that indeed we as a church, as the temple of God, as the building of God, the household of God, the body of Christ, that we would be what you have designed us to be, Father. Thank you for your goodness and faithfulness to us in these things, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Did you know that you are part of a theological university? That's what you are. The church is a theological university. Of course, theology, we know what theology is. Theology is the study of God. It's about God. It is the focus upon God. And the church being a theological university, well, what is a university? It is a unity out of diversity. That's what a university is. Many different assortments, parts of it that come together as one with one objective and one purpose. Now, what we're studying, particularly in chapters 14 and 15, is that there is a great diversity in the church. We understand that. Look around you. A lot of strange people surrounding you, aren't there? There is a diversity of the church. This is the assortment. What do I mean by assortment? Well, it begins with an A. That's why it's in there, right? But the assortment is, look around. There's a great assortment of people in there. Assortment meaning there's a diversity. You are a mixed bag. This is a hodgepodge of people. In the church, each person is a building block, a significant building block in the church. But what makes this assortment? What creates this diversity? Understanding that it is only in the Christian church that this diversity is actually welcomed. We were having dinner last night with the Gadala family, and the whole Hindu religion is built on the caste system, which is a hierarchy of people of classes of people. And he says, over in India, it is only the Christian church where they recognize that all classes of people are welcome and equal in the eyes of God. And so it is in the church. Nevertheless, there is that diversity. And what presents that? Well, five things here. First of all, we have an assortment of personalities, don't we? Just look around you. There's all kinds of characters, right? All kinds of personalities. You know, you have the Dave Carmichaels, you have the Tim Kilpatricks, right? That's a good thing. I like all those personalities. And there's many of us in here. We're not all expected to have the same personality, but we bring that diversity together in a unity. Not only is there an assortment of personalities, but there's also an assortment of priors. A difference of personal history. We all have unique experiences in the lives that we've lived. And that also means that there is an assortment of progress. We're all at a different point on the road of becoming like Jesus Christ. Some of you might not even be on that road yet. But you are welcome here to learn. You are welcome here to be taught about Jesus Christ and how much God loves you and what He wants to accomplish in your life for His glory. Most of us, I would like to believe, that are on the path towards becoming like Jesus Christ because we have committed ourselves to Him in faith. Some of us have been in the Lord maybe for a few months or a few years. Some of us have been in the Lord for decades. There's a diversity there, isn't there? And with that diversity, there would be a diversity and assortment of perspectives. Different perspectives come from different experiences and backgrounds. And progress in the faith. And then lastly, there's a whole assortment of preferences. We all have different preferences. We're not all alike. We're not all out of the same cookie cutter. We have different preferences. So you take those five and all that assortment, that hodgepodge of people and that diversity that is there, and yet we can all be moving in one direction with one objective, and we become a theological university. Well, what is that one objective? There is one unifying authority. And we find this in the verses that are our text today. I want you to consider them with me. In verse 5, it says, according to Jesus Christ at the end of the verse, like-minded towards one another, according to Christ Jesus. What is that? That's a reference point. That's an authority. That's the foundation upon which we build everything that we're doing. In verse 6, to the glory of God and Father of our Lord. To His glory. It is His purpose, His plan. He is, again, the objective. He is the reference point. Verse 7, to the glory of God. That is the one unifying authority. That is the hub. That is the central focus. With all the diversity that we have in the body of Christ, it is that one authority that brings it all together. It is that one authority that defines what we do. That even with all of our diversity, we bring it together with one focus and one objective. And so God then is that reference point. And we need to, as a church, even with all the variety, all the diversity, that assortment, that hodgepodge of people and preferences and personalities and priors, and we need to make sure that God remains the point in all that we do. Because not only is He our reference point, but He is our source. Look what He says in verse 5. Now may the God of patience and comfort. Why is He the God of patience and comfort? Because that is His character. It is who He is. And therefore, the work that is being accomplished in here is a reflection of the very character of God. And therefore, He becomes the source of that patience, of that perseverance, and of that comfort. And as it says there, may He grant you to be like-minded. Like Paul says, I can do all things. How? Through Christ who strengthens me. See, He's the reference point. Not only is He the reference point, He's the source. So it is that way that we maintain a singular objective. Because as we are focused on that hub, as the wheel rotates around the hub, we become focused on and committed to Christ, walking with Him. What does that mean? It means we are disciples of Jesus Christ. And here's the point. This is how He becomes not only the reference point, but the source. A disciple is one who is a committed follower of Jesus Christ. It means you don't just sit and listen to His lectures. You do life with Him. And the more you walk with Him, and this is the whole concept of discipleship, the more you walk with Him, the more you become what? Like Him. That's the whole point. In that way, He is not only the reference point, He is the objective, He is the source. And so the student becomes like the master. And that is the point of the church. So He become God in His character and His purpose. God Himself, Jesus Christ, becomes the unifying authority of the church amidst all of the diversity that exists within the church. Now, as you read these verses, it becomes very clear that the command is that we be like-minded. We have one mind, one voice, one passion, one objective. Why is that command necessary? Because of the diversity that exists. And all of that oneness cannot exist without the focus upon that one single unifying authority. And that is God Himself. So what is the action to which we are called this morning? I want to reference verse 7. And this is how He begins way back in chapter 14, verse 1. Receive one who is weak. And then He says in chapter 15, verse 7, therefore, receive one another. Receive one another. That is a command for interpersonal dynamic relationship within the body of Christ. That within all that diversity, all the assortments of personalities, perspectives, preferences, progress, we receive one another. Now that word is a very important word. Let's understand it here for a minute. Proslambano is the word, and it means it's the idea of taking one to yourself. You take them by the hand and you lead them. For example, I've been places with some of my small children sometime, and you're in a very large crowd. And believe me, I know how to navigate through a crowd, okay? So I'm in this crowd, and one of my small children is with me, right? And there's just hordes of people, and when I'm walking, I'm on a mission, okay? I'm going to get from point A to point B. I know where I'm going. And my little child, first of all, I'm taller than the child, so I have a better perspective than they do. Because I've been living a little longer and I'm up a little higher, right? And my child is shorter. And there they are in this huge crowd of people and all they see is belt buckles. All right? So that's not a very good perspective. So what do I do? We're going to navigate this crowd. I take the child by the hand and I say, now you just follow me. Walk where I walk. Works every time. I take them by the hand, and I'm walking, and they're walking with me, and we negotiate, and we don't get separated, and they make it to the same place I do. This is the idea of proslambano, is to walk with each other. There is a diversity, but as we're walking with each other, with the same unifying authority, with one objective, we get there together. And that unity is a beautiful thing in God's eyes, but it is also a beautiful thing in the eyes of a watching world. Now, you have an arrow there in your notes. That arrow is pointing north and south. It's pointing up and down. That is a vertical relationship. Let's focus for a minute on our mission is connect, grow, serve. This is understanding the connect part of the mission. That vertical arrow represents your relationship with God. It represents your connection to Him. As one who is in Christ, your fellowship, your relationship to Him, your communion with God. Now, draw a crossbar across that, which represents your horizontal relationships, your interpersonal dynamic. That crossbar that you are drawing across that vertical bar is proslambano, walk with each other, because that human, horizontal, interpersonal relationship is an outflow of that vertical relationship. All of that is wrapped up in that one word, connect, in our mission. Our mission statement, connect, grow, and serve. That your human relationships are an outflow of your walk with God. That's the way it needs to be. That walk with God is first and primary. And that's reflected even in the text that we have before us here. Again, that one unifying authority. Look what he says at the end of verse 7. Receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. That's that vertical relationship. Do you have that vertical relationship? If so, then your human relationships become an outflow of that vertical relationship, that walk that you have with God. Because God took you by the hand and said, walk with me. I will reconcile you to myself. Therefore, your relationship with others is an outflow of that fellowship that you have with God. And so, the lambano, where it says here, the pros lambano, the word that's translated in the New King James is receive one another. Another translation says accept one another. I'm translating it as saying walk with one another. Take someone by the hand and have them walk with you. If you feel that you are still young in the faith and you need to learn and you need direction, reach out your hand to someone else and say, take me by the hand and let me walk with you. Listen, folks, it is a huge delight for me to see that sort of thing happening in the church. I observe it. I see it happening. And I've heard testimony of those. I've sat down in my office with those who want to become vitally connected with the church. And they say, let me tell you how somebody reached out their hand and they took me and I'm walking with them. That makes me excited. Because that's church. That's the church being the church. And I love that. That's God's design for the church. And this is exactly what he is exhorting us to do right here in verses 5 through 7. And so we invest in each other as Christ invested himself in us. That's what the church is. Even though there is a great bit of diversity among us. Here's a story that was quoted in Men of Integrity. Bill is wild-haired, you know. His wardrobe for college is jeans and a t-shirt. I mean, you've seen the type, right? There might be some of you like this. Holes in his jeans, right? He recently became a believer while attending a campus Bible study. Across from the campus is a well-dressed, very conservative church. One Sunday, Bill decided to go there. He walks in late, shoeless. The sanctuary is packed. Bill heads down the aisle looking for a seat. Having nearly reached the pulpit, he realizes there's no empty seats. So he squats down on the carpet. The congregation is feeling uncomfortable. Then from the back of the church, a gray-haired elder in a three-piece suit starts walking towards Bill with a cane. The worshipers don't expect a man in his 80s to understand some college kids on the floor. With all eyes focused on the developing drama, the minister waits to begin his sermon until the elder does what he has to do. Whatever that means, right? The elderly man drops his cane on the floor and with great difficulty lowers himself to sit next to Bill. And then the minister begins. What I'm about to preach, you'll never remember. But what you've just seen, you'll never forget. Folks, that's walking with. Do you recognize the diversity? Remember what we said before, the building up, the forbearing? Let God be original with somebody else as he is with you. Don't let your experience become principle. Let God be original. And so we are to walk with each other even in all the diversity that exists within the church. Now, if we do that and when we do that, what does that produce in the church? And here's what we have before us in the text. It produces one mind. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded. one mind. This is an attitude. It's a habit of thought to be like-minded. The one in there is like a pronoun, which means self. It means singleness, which means then that we have a single focus and a single commitment. And that single focus, that single commitment is Jesus Christ. When my focus and my commitment is to Him, I do not recognize the diversity that exists among us, so long as we're all glorifying Jesus Christ together. So long as He remains that one unifying authority. So is that singleness of mind, as for example in 2 Chronicles 30:12. The hand of God was on the tribe of Judah to give them singleness of heart to obey the command of the king and the leaders at the word of the Lord. The NIV translates this phrase in verse 5 as give you a spirit of unity. Now that's, of course, that's not word for word. That's the dynamic equivalence. All right? But that's the idea. Give you a spirit of unity. That means that we are focused on the same object and the same objective. It is a mind thing that we have the same focus, one singular focus. What else does this produce in us? It produces one passion. There's a great word here. One passion. Look what it says again, verse 6. That you may with one mind. This is the King James. A little bit of redundancy here in the New King James, all right? But in the New American Standard, for example, it's one accord. Here's the word. Homothumadon. Would you like that word? It's almost onomatopoetic. It sounds like what it means. Thumadon. It's an explosion. It's a passion, homothumadon. That means we have one singular passion. All of us do. And that is the passion for the character and purpose of Jesus Christ. That together we are obsessed with Jesus Christ. For example, I love it when football season starts. I don't know what it is. I just love watching football. I love it when the season starts. I love the teamwork of football. Plus, it makes me think of Thanksgiving and all that good stuff, right? All the turkey. But anyway, but in a football team, what do you have? You have great diversity, but it's all that, every one of the members on that team, there is diversity, but it is complementary, like a team ought to be. And the best teams with the best teamwork are the teams that do the best. Because they have one goal, they have one passion. You see them get in their huddles, you see them get before the game, they're hugging each other, and they're doing the dance thing, you know? What is it? That's passion. They have a singular passion. And we're going to put ourselves into this 100%. I don't believe in 110%. Okay, it's not possible. I know athletes talk about that all the time. It's just one of my pet peeves. No extra charge for that. 100% is all you can give. All right? 100%, that's what they give. And they're passionate about it. And they bring their passion together. And they work as a teamwork. That's what the church is. Even though there's a great diversity in the church. There's one mind, there's one attitude, there's one passion, one objective. Now contrast that with what happens at the end of the NFL season. After the Super Bowl has already been played and the Dallas Cowboys have won, well, you know, that's, you know, whatever, you know. What do you have after the Super Bowl? You have what? The Pro Bowl in Hawaii, right? And who's in the Pro Bowl? It's kind of like the All-Star game. All the best players are invited to the Pro Bowl. Okay? Now here's what happens in the Pro Bowl. They all wear the same jersey, but they're not really playing for that team, are they? Because though they're wearing the same jersey, what are they wearing up here? They're wearing their own helmet. The helmet of their team. They're not really there playing for their team. Okay, so they're, who are they actually playing for? They're playing for the team that pays their big contract. So how do you think they're going to play? How many people really get excited about the Pro Bowl? Maybe three? Why is that? They're not playing with passion. Because they're afraid of messing up their great contracts through injury or whatever it is. Okay? They're really playing for the team that they came from. You see, that's not the church. We wear the same helmet and the same jersey. We have the same objective. We have the same passion. And we are passionately focused on one, and that is Jesus Christ, His character, and His purpose. That's the church. And with that great diversity, we bring that diversity together in a complementary fashion, and we move towards the one goal. And that is the glory of God. We could use a different example that has to do with a little bit of physics. For example, let's talk about what is it that keeps us together with that diversity? You know, if with diversity, if we focus on the diversity, we could easily scatter and go, you know, into little groups that we identify with. But if you have a central magnetism, and that central magnetism is Jesus Christ Himself and His character and His purpose, then that the centripetal magnetism, the centripetal means tending towards the center. What's the opposite of centripetal? Centrifugal means tending towards or away from the center, right? If you get something, you're swinging something around, there's a centrifugal force there. And if you let go of whatever it is you're swinging around, what happens? Vroom! Right? It goes away. Now, the centrifugal force, where we have, let's take, for example, the solar system. What is at the center of the solar system? Hint, solar. The sun, right? Okay, we all knew that. You know, this is what, third grade science, okay? The solar system. All the planets are going around the sun. Now, what happens if all of a sudden the sun disappears? Don't you think God's tempted to do that sometimes? Anyway, just no extra. If it happened, if the sun all of a sudden just decided to blow up and disappear, everything would go whoosh, just like that. Now, what happens in the church, if we start becoming focused and obsessed with our diversity, then centrifugal force takes over. But when we remain focused on the magnetism of that centripetal force, the one who is at the center, the one who is the hub, the one who is our focus, the character and purpose of Jesus Christ, then we become a highly impactful system, body that glorifies God. That's the church. That's the church. So what we have there, look what he says in verse 6, that you may with one mind, that's one passion there, okay? That you may with one mind, homothumadon. What does he say? And one mouth. One mouth. How many mouths do we have in here? There's quite a few. Do you know what glorifies God? Is when we unite our mouths together, all saying the same thing. Do you know what brings Him great glory? When we bring our mouths together on Sunday morning and we're lifting up that one message and with one voice, we are glorifying Him. That brings Him great glory. What is the message? With one voice or one mouth, what is that message? Just as Christ also accepted us, He accepted us to the glory of God. Listen, if and when the church is being the church, that even with that great assortment and that great diversity, we bring it together with focus on one objective and one passion, then we have one voice. And that one voice is saying this: God is good. That's what the church says. God is good. Just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. What is that? That's the goodness of God. That is what we do because of who we are in Christ. We are glorifying God. We are communicating an opinion of the Creator of the universe, the one who made all mankind, and He made us for Himself. And we, with one passion, one mind, and one voice, are communicating the one singular, accurate opinion of God. God is good. That's the message of the church. That's what the world hears when they see us being the church. Back in 1994, in the Atlantic Monthly, they were, you know, the three superstar tenors were singing. Jose Carreras, Placido Domingo, and Luciano Pavarotti. You like that? It was good. They were performing together in Los Angeles. And a reporter tried to press, you know how reporters are, they try to press the issue of competitiveness. They're trying to make news. Okay, a little bit of editorial there. But anyway, they were trying to press the issue of competitiveness between the three men. And here's what Placido Domingo said. You have to put all of your concentration into opening your heart to the music. You can't be rivals when you're together making music. You know what? We're about making music. I've referred to this passage several times before, and I strongly encourage you to know this passage well. It's 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. What is our music that we make? That we proclaim the praises of Him, or His excellencies. It's an excellent word. Excellencies, or His praises. Praises is kind of, it just makes you think of just singing songs of the Lord. That's really not what it is. The word that is used there speaks of God's distinction, His renown, His reputation, His fame, that He is a master of achievement. Look what God has done. His weightiness that makes Him the greatest and most important reality. That's what we sing. That's what we communicate with one mouth when we have that one mind and that one passion. Francis Schaeffer in The Church Before the Watching World, this was published in Christianity Today, he said this a while ago. He says, we cannot expect the world to believe that the Father sent the Son, that Jesus' claims are true, and that Christianity is true, unless the world sees some reality of oneness in true Christians. Now that is frightening, he writes. Should we not feel some emotion at this point? End quote. It is. Back to the original point. We are a theological university. We are a theological university. Because, first of all, it's all about God. Who we are and what we do is all about God. If it ever becomes about anything else, we've lost our way. It is about God. It is about specifically the person of Jesus Christ and His character and His purpose. That's who we are. That's what we're about. And we bring all of our diversity into one focus, and that is Jesus Christ, and that is God. It is a theological university. And we do that by proslambano. Take one to yourself and walk Godward. That's what the church does. You know how important that is? Because when you think of a university, what do you think of? You think of a classroom, don't you? Lots of books, sitting down in a classroom, listening to a lecture. That's not proslambano. Proslambano means to walk with somebody. That's what it means. You know why that's important? Because we don't learn and develop just by sitting in classes. We do a lot of Bible study here. We do a lot. There's more Bible studies starting. Bible studies are good. But listen, loved ones, if that's as far as we go, we're stunting our growth. We need to walk with each other. We need to do life with each other. Discipleship needs to happen. Take somebody by the hand. Invest your life in someone else, in the body of Christ, in the family of God, and walk with each other in a Godward direction. Because with one mind and one passion, we'll have one voice, and that one voice will say, God is good. So here then We do this to the glory of God. The glory, word glory is doxa. It's calling us to magnify. It's me saying to you, magnify the Lord with me. Not just in this time, in this context, in this room. You magnify the Lord with me. Come, let's walk together. Let's magnify the Lord together so that people will truly see Him for as big and as great as He is. Final statement, and I want you to consider this. I believe this to be the challenge of Romans 15, 5 to 7. Our walk with each other proclaims our opinion of God. Our walk with each other proclaims our opinion of God and invites those who surround us to that same opinion. Our walk with each other proclaims our opinion of God and invites those who surround us to that same opinion. Listen to the words of Jesus in John 17, 21. He was praying. Now, this is almost 2,000 years ago. Your Creator, the Son of God, the one who made you, the one who redeemed you, was praying in a garden, and He was praying to His Father. And these are the words He said, John 17, 21. He wasn't just praying for His disciples then. He was praying for all those who would believe. And He knew you by name at that very moment. And He was praying for you. Listen, this is what He prayed, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. One mind, one passion, one voice.